go. All right. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the Chasing Daylight podcast. Music will be playing on the YouTube edit. Riverside is not participating with us in a friendly manner. So, yeah, check out the intro music on YouTube. So, hey, we got a great episode tonight. There's a lot of shit going on in the golf world. The golf ball rollback is taken front and stage center, along with Jon Rahm leaving, Tony Finau staying. Tiger and Charlie Part 2 is happening this week down in at the PNC Champion. Is it in Florida? Is that where they play?
Yeah, it's in Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando.
So that's going on. Freddie was talking trash again about Liv, which I thought was hilarious. And we've got a special guest, Doc Roden, Dave Roden, live from the New Level True Link Square headquarters.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Doing all right. Even better now.
Doc's going to hang out with us tonight, chat a little golf. He's a great insider when it comes to the industry. Of course, he's works at New Level and is one of the builders, fitters out there. So if anybody that's on YouTube right now hanging with us, if you have any questions about New Level, about club fitting, about club building in general, anything like that, lob him out there and Joe and I will get him over to him and he can answer your questions.
Absolutely.
He loves talking about how good he is at building golf clubs because he's really good at building golf clubs.
Mastermind.
I get lucky every once in a while.
All right. So, Ron,
have you ever had, you had any ferrule spin? You ever got any spinning ferrules?
Not in a long time.
It's new technology.
But it has happened, right?
It has.
I'm not the only person that has ever built a set of irons where the ferrules came loose.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Short answer.
I just thought it was new technology, man.
Spree
wells.
We did have a guy one time come in at another place that I worked at that had that new SFT technology. The sombrero ferrule technology.
Oh
yeah, where the ferrule was four sizes too big for the golf club. Those were awesome.
They didn't participate in the Mitchell turning ferrule class, apparently. Huh?
Evidently.
Hey, did you guys see those ones I posted today for Steven Jackson's irons?
I did not.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, the metal ones.
They're like a lightweight brushed aluminum that are milled.
Right? BBNF or no?
No. They're from overseas.
Yeah, they look like they're made by Swag.
Well, that's why he got them because they, he's Mr. Swag. So, wow, super crazy light. I mean, I didn't weigh one, but it's got to be maybe a gram. It's so fucking light. But it looks like machine metal. They came out pretty good. So I'm building that up for them tomorrow.
Hopefully they don't spin.
Well, they've got what looks like threads on the inside of them. So,
perfect.
Yeah, I'll be applying plenty of epoxy on those to make sure
they'll stay put.
Yeah. So, all right. Jon Rahm bailed. Everybody kind of saw it coming. I don't think any of us said, no, he's not going last week. So I put out there on our IG page, who do you think is going next? And surprisingly enough, a lot of the people said it was going to be Tony Finau. Everybody thinks Patrick Cantlay's gone and is it him that he's buddies with Finau or was it
Xander?
Xander. That's it. Yeah. But Tony, I'm not going. Hashtag announced that. Was that this morning or yesterday? I can't
remember. Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah. So Tone, big Tone sticking around on the PGA Tour. That's a positive for the PGA Tour. I haven't had a lot of positives in the news of late.
I wouldn't be surprised still, though, because those Rahm and Finau are good buddies, and they play Silverleaf all the time. And I would not be surprised. Because Jon Rahm said he wasn't leaving either. And X number of months later, here we are.
Jon Rahm didn't post with the hashtag I'm not leaving.
Yeah, but he was pretty strong with his opinions in the interviews leading
up. But that was a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But, it's all good.
And you guys, see you in Maui.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think John Rahm knows something that can't be explained out to the public yet. I think I think the changes are going to be to 72 holes. They're going to do something where they're going to get some world golf ranking. I don't think he's just going to.
Right.
Totally. He's one of those guys that's just going to be like, dude, if you're going to pay me this much and you want me to play over there, this is what's got to happen. So I think there will be some changes that just haven't announced it yet.
But I don't know. Their whole premise of why they're better is because it's 54 holes, because it's 3 days, because it's it's different. And if it's just another golf tour, what besides the money, I don't know.
Well, they got a qualifier now, right? Didn't you see some of the PGA Tour players or Korn Ferry players go to play in the qualifier? And then they got reprimanded for going into the qualifier. Did you see that?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, like Kevin Chappell.
Yeah, it was the other day. And they thought it was okay because it was merged or whatever. And they got like reprimanded for going to play in the qualifier.
Not merged.
I know, but what they thought. But the thing from the tour since the June 6th thing is that we are merging. So it all comes back to that.
Yeah.
You know,
there's been zero clarification.
Totally. There's been nothing since then. So these people are thinking that we're merging. We're like one entity kind of, or
that's the problem. They were thinking instead of
company B, whatever they're going to call it. And yeah.
Yeah. Call your player rep and go, can I play in this? No. Okay.
Well, I think these players probably need to follow. What is that? Monday Q info. At Monday Q.
Right.
They need to just follow him because he's got the inside information, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I mean I've heard a couple people saying Liv's not going anywhere. The money is sustainable for them. They don't care. I don't know. I don't get it. And then Doc, you can answer this. Because I've said this a couple times on the show.
Okay.
Why do you care about OWGR rankings? If Liv is so much better and it's a better way of life and it's better money and it's better everything, why do you care about the OWGR? And if it's just to get into majors, then that's the choice you made. It's Liv is so much better. Who cares?
Yeah.
Why do you care?
I would agree with you to a point on that. I think majors are a big part of it for a lot of those guys. I think for years now, we've kind of decided what is great and what is not great by the amount of majors that they've won, right? The conversation Absolutely. Every time we talk about Tiger versus Jack is Jack's got more majors, right? Every single time. So I think there's a lot of those guys that want to leave their mark on the game as far as being a great. And regular tour events aren't the thing that separates those people from the greats, right? So getting into majors, winning majors, I think is a big part of that. That said, outside of that, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't give you an honest answer.
I mean,
money on Liv is outrageous. Rahm's in. The lifestyle is outrageous.
Rahm's in. Rahm's in the Masters for the rest of his life. He never has to worry about correct. That one. He's got. He's in the next. Champion. Yeah, he's in the next 5 years of majors. You know, so he's not going anywhere as far as the majors go. So him leaving now to go get a huge paycheck, totally understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
stop it with the OWGR. Just fucking stop. Go play your Liv golf. Be happy there.
I mean, how many major champions are playing on Liv now? I mean, there's a lot. You've got Koepka, you've got John Rahm, you've got Bill, a bunch of guys that are able to
Graham
play
McDowell.
Bubba.
Exactly. So you've got this combination of people that are able to go play in the majors anyway. I think it's the guys that, you know, the Pat Perez is the, you know, guys like that need the points to qualify for those things because they've never won one, right? That's, I think, the separation between the top of the line Liv guys and, you know, the everyday regular people.
But Pat Perez is not a player that's going to leave a mark on the game.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah. And he made more money this year on LIV than he ever did on the PGA Tour, as far as I know. I mean, I don't have the data, but.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah,
made a killing. Yeah. So why the fuck would he care about OWGR? Why? Hey, I can go play and finish last and make more money. You know, I just.
It's a pretty good gig if you can get it, I think.
Right?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm still waiting on Michael, man. I don't know about you guys.
I'm down to play anytime.
Absolutely. Anytime. Absolutely. I'll take a plane ride.
I can shoot 18 over really easy. Oh, really easy. Dude,
every day of the week.
And there's quite a few that do that on LIV. So you know.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me is like these guys are going over there and saying that they're growing the game, which is just straight up horseshit.
Like, yeah.
Did you see that video where they're like, people are like, say it, John, say it, John,
yeah,
say it, John. You could grow in the game. They're like, yeah.
But you could argue though, you could argue that growing the game is a lot. You could be interpreted in different ways. I mean, there's people that like the atmosphere there that maybe don't like the stiff golf style, whatever.
Yeah,
but I mean, what is growing the game though? Like, is it getting a bunch of little kids in the golf? Like, that's what I feel like it used to be. Or getting minorities or people that maybe don't have that opportunity. What's growing the game though? Like, it's pretty broad.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Do we need to define what growing the game is? Because everybody uses it. You know.
True. Yeah, they do.
It's really just getting more people to play golf. And if it's
that's what I've always thought. Yeah. People that aren't playing, get them on the course.
Yeah.
They haven't figured out what it is that's so awesome about it, or they don't, and get more people playing golf. Okay, we've done that.
That's the thing. Anybody that goes over there saying
Let's stop, is
fucking bullshit. That's my thing. You're not fucking growing the game. Like, that's why when Harold Varner went over there, like, I was all about that because he was fuck that.
Absolutely.
It's about the money. It's generational wealth. Like, that's what I'm doing it for. Like, I'm not here to grow the game. And that's what pisses me off, because John Rahm dropped the "it's growing the game" shit. And that's not fucking true.
No.
Absolutely.
I like that. We're going to have to define. I'll put that on an Instagram later. Define what growing the game is, and we'll see what people say. I'm interested to see. Jed, if you're still listening, what do you think growing the game is?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, check this out. You can see that.
Ooh, is that the new Rio logo?
Rio Seiko logo on a branded Bill's Elite hat. Probably the best golf hat I've ever put on my head. Wow.
Joe, looks like they took your Chippy Dice Man idea.
Same thing.
It's the Chippy Scorpion.
Fucking thieves, man.
Get that thing. Trademark. Mm-hmm. Copyright.
Right. So I was out at Rio Friday last week, and man, that place, it drives me nuts because it's so overpriced. But it's a resort course, you know. They book the tourists and shuttle them out there, and man, they rake those guys over the coals. But the course was in fantastic shape, and the greens were a lot faster than so high, like a lot faster than so high.
Really?
I was shocked. I was shocked how fast they were running, but it was fun putting on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, and held the ball pretty well. Course is in great shape. They fixed a lot of the bunker issues, where you know the bad areas and certain bunkers didn't see one that was bad.
Interesting.
Nice.
So if you're headed out to Rio anytime soon, you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
We're saying
Dan is tomorrow. Yeah. Dan is for a solo round tomorrow. Nobody else from the podcast is joining him, unfortunately, but
nobody.
We're looking forward to your report.
Yeah. Fully detailed report. Give me time to actually take notes.
Dan, when was the last time you played golf on a golf course?
Been a few weeks. I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Maybe Pram.
Maybe.
No. Well, did we play Pram?
No, maybe Coyote, I think, with Trey like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I live at work now, so I had to retire from golf the last month.
Hey, Dan works down at the Thomas and Mack UNLV. You know, definitely want to give our condolences to what took place to the families that lost, you know, family members over some fucking moron. It's just stupid shit. And, you know, our heart goes out to them. UNLV strong. Everybody's doing it. We love seeing it. This community comes together amazingly for being, you know, so transient. It's awesome to see. How's the mood down on campus?
It's a little somber. There hasn't really been a whole lot of interaction or anything going on there because they closed it down for the rest of the week. Some of the students that are there living on campus, I think because, and I'm not trying to take anything away from it, but because it was faculty that got that were the victims more than students, it doesn't seem to be like a big student rally for their fallen classmates or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just more of like, what the hell happened? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how could this happen type of feeling down there. And yeah, like you said, hearts go out to the victims and the family.
It definitely could have been so much worse than it was. Like,
how about the first responders just getting there? 78 like, seconds.
Yeah.
78 seconds took him to engage with that guy. That's awesome.
It's just, yeah, it's just a weird freak thing. And it sucks. It sucks. It happens a lot. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, we've had some bad shit going on. The NHP troopers that got killed by the drunk driver. That's a wild story in its own. And this, so. We shall persevere.
You know what will happen, though. We'll keep running. Rebels.
Running Rebels.
Yes. Running Rebels. All right. So anybody heard anything new about anybody leaving to go play Liv?
Just rumors.
Doc, are you going to come up to Vegas for the event here?
When is it?
Super Bowl weekend.
Oh. Unfortunately, not. you know what else happens Super Bowl weekend?
Oh, yeah. Just a little party in the desert in Scottsdale. That
happens to be in my backyard.
Yeah.
And
wise choice to stay there.
A couple of players playing in that, so I probably have to be here.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
You mean you don't want to see John Rahm take on Las Vegas Country Club?
I would love to. Having played Las Vegas Country Club, I would love to go see that dude shoot 43 under for 4 days.
Right, yeah. But, they're going to eat that shit up.
Yeah. What's that long par 5 or par 3 on the back?
Over the water, 17?
With Zach Hilton in the background, 17?
Yeah.
Great hole.
I think I've hit 4 iron into that green a lot, and these guys are going to be hitting 7 irons. Like,
yeah.
Get out of here.
It's going to be ridiculous. So, hey, something that you may, because you've played so high too, right?
Yeah.
They have reduced the fairways on that course by like 40%.
Really?
It is almost impossible to hit a fairway there now.
Really?
Our buddy Steve caddied for us out there, and he said that it's easily added 5 strokes to the course.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It is amazing the amount of long grass on that golf course now.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I was lucky enough when I was in Vegas, I got to play it twice. And the first round I played, it's not super targety, but it was very, you kind of have to play it once to know where you can get away with stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was, being a first time player out there was a lot of shots that I hit well that were just gone. Right. So you narrow those fairways even more. And if they decide to let it grow out a little bit and get that rough stick,
they did.
They did.
That is a hard golf course at that point.
I hope that they let it get thick for the Southern Highlands Collegiate. And,
oh, yeah.
And just because, I mean, Jeremy played from the back tees. And I mean, did you sniff a fairway? I mean, it was, you were, he was so, and hit great golf shots that just were in like thick three grass.
Fairways.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
The golf course is already hard. You make it even more narrow and it's brutal.
It was cool to see. I mean, that's another thing they can do. They don't need to, you know, roll the ball back. Make golf courses harder.
Make the rough thick, man.
Yeah.
Make people hit fairways.
Did you see that video that it's like a comedian from like Ireland or something? And he was talking about the rollback. And he was like, if you go into the water, you're fine because it's 15 yards shorter. And then he's like, if you're putting the ball, you just put it 15 yards past the hole and it'll roll back right in the hole. I meant to send it to you guys and then I lost it, but it was pretty funny.
The rollback golf ball.
Yeah.
That is funny. Oh man. All right. So but Doc, you want to get in that? You want to get in the rollback and let do you speak on behalf of New Level when you say what you're about to say?
Or is
it independent? Okay, good.
No. I this is Doc, not David from New Level.
Okay.
I see it from both ways. I think there's a lot of really cool classic style golf courses that the PGA Tour doesn't go to anymore that I would love to see back in play. Simply because it's not long enough for those guys anymore. Every hole becomes, you know, driver wedge, and that's not fun golf to watch. It is because you get to see guys stuff, but I don't think it's as much fun because you don't get to see the carnage that happens in those things, right? I think opening the door to bringing some of those golf courses back, the classic style, Parkland style, you know, elevated tees, elevated greens, those golf courses are so much fun to watch those guys play well at. But also, when it happens for the mass majority of players, I think you have penalized guys that already don't hit it very far. You've penalized those guys in order to try to affect the top, you know, 0.00% of golfers, right? It seems a little bit like golf is already hard. You just made it harder on everybody except the pros. And I don't love that idea. You know, we see it every day. I mean, from the equipment standpoint, golf clubs have gotten easier to hit over the years. We went from straight butter knives to, you know, these big perimeter weighted cavity back hybrid style irons. And nobody really makes a true, true blade anymore, you know, with the exception of a handful of people or a handful of companies. I think
is
you
New
have
Level one of them.
Technology. We have a blade. Yes. To be 100% honest with you, it is much more forgiving than cavity back irons were 10 years ago. It's insane. It's insane. The amount of movable weight that we're putting into golf clubs these days is absolutely outrageous. And to your point earlier, we were speaking kind of before we started here. Driver used to be the hardest club in the bag to hit. It's the easiest club to hit now. Penalize missing the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Don't roll the golf ball back. Use skill, right? Hit it better and you'll score better. Rather than, well, we're dialing back the golf ball because we don't want to make it where Callaway or TaylorMade or whoever it is sells four drivers a year.
Yeah. Can you imagine baseball, like having a bat that it just crushes the ball and they're like, you know, let's make the ball softer so it doesn't go as far.
Right.
No, right. Change the bat.
Yeah.
Change the bat.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been my whole thing is like the equipment is so forgivable right now. Like dial that back, you know, like I don't think the golf ball is where it's at. It's like reward people that can hit the center of the golf club, not the golf ball, because
you know. I think you've already done that with the driver, right? There's restrictions on how hot that face can be, right? So these manufacturers have now created it where it's at that limit all the way across the face now. And when it is, there's no penalty for mishitting it, right? If you were to make that, again, less forgiving, make the miss more dramatic, throw the rough out around the golf course, It's going to encourage guys to hit driver less. It's going to encourage hitting the smart shot, hitting the fairways, rather than being able to. Dustin Johnson said it the best one year. He's like, if I can hit a pitching wedge and everybody else is hitting 8-iron, I'm going to hit it closer than you all the time.
Yeah.
Make them hit fairways to hit it close.
But what are they saying as far as like distance? They're going to lose like 10 to 15 yards, right? Which is like one club. So
it's a club. Yeah.
I mean, Rory's instead of hitting his wedge into the green, he's going to be hitting like an easy 9. Like he's going to be hitting a 9-iron. It's like, does that even make a difference? It's going to be a couple feet in dispersion.
I mean, it probably
it'll matter like to Kevin Kisner.
Like maybe foot tops. I don't
think it matters to Rory. It matters to Kevin Kisner's and Zach Johnson's of the world, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're going to be hitting they're going to be hitting a 3 instead of a 4 or 5.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
We should force everyone to use Titleist TSR4 drivers. that's the most difficult driver I've ever attempted.
We should just make everyone have to hit persimmons.
I have totally lost track now. It happens so much lately. Yes. Jeremy, what driver are we on this week?
This one's staying. I've got the TSR3 now. I experimented. I went very easy to hit, impossible to hit, and now I'm where I should be.
Jeremy got a guy at Las Vegas Golf Superstore fired because he turned back in many clubs. No. Sir, you have to leave. Go home. Go home.
Yeah. I just don't know. Like the ball thing, it's like, well, we'll see. I mean, it's hard. You can't really tell. It's not in play currently. So,
right.
Just like those top guys, it's like not going to affect them at all. Nothing's
Did you believe Lucas Gover when he said he lost 40 yards?
40 yards?
No, I don't think so. Yeah,
that's excessive.
Bullshit.
He's like, it was a little windy and I hit it well and it went all at 250 and I hit it further than that.
It wouldn't, honestly, if it spins less or spins more, it wouldn't surprise me with as big of a hook as he hits. He's not hitting the run, right?
Yeah.
I think with the technology that's available right now, it'll take them 6 months to adjust and they'll be doing what they need to do. Like
they'll adapt. They would adapt to a driver change as well. But this is what Doc and I were talking about earlier. You've got Callaway and TaylorMade and Ping and Cobra and Titleist and all these guys that come out with these drivers and different variants of the drivers and different color schemes and all this stuff. They are hand over fist making money on these, and they don't want that to be one product.
Right.
You know, where they're telling the USGA and the RNA, just tell them to make a different formula for one golf ball. That's easier for them to do than for us to not make money and sponsor your commercials and plaster our names all over your events.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's a business. It's a business.
Yeah,
it is.
We'll see.
It's going to be interesting. Be like F1. Everybody plays the same thing.
Yeah.
You have the PGA Tour driver, PGA Tour irons.
Bunch of PGA
Tour shafts.
No, thank you.
Right.
I think that's
what makes golf great is the individualism and the individualism of the clubs and the shafts and the balls that you can play. That's what makes it great.
Would you tune in and watch an afternoon of 24 PGA Tour pros all playing the same equipment, the same ball? Obviously fit to their specs as far as height and everything, but everybody playing the same irons, everybody playing the same ball, everybody playing the same driver.
I can go to the local Muni golf course around here and watch a putting contest any day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
I don't need to go to a PGA Tour event to see it.
Right. No,
I think it would be fun to watch. I'm not saying that the whole season, just one event where they all go out and have to play the same equipment.
I think that becomes fun when we're talking about like the throwback stuff, the persimmon heads, the old school blades, that's when it becomes fun watching a TaylorMade versus a Callaway driver board.
Yeah.
What about a tour pro goes into Dick's and gets a stock set of irons off the shelf and has to play them for the weekend?
Did you see that Corn Fairy Kid last year?
With the ping.
Yeah. Would that be entertaining, or is like these guys are so good they would adapt? It would take them a couple whole, 10 minutes on the range, and they'd be fine.
It'd take them a range session, and they'd figure it out.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, the amount of talent is just, I mean, they're so dialed in, man. They've been doing this shit for years, like, and they just know the feel. I mean,
it's wild. Fortunately, I've been in a good position here to be able to watch some of these tour players come in and hit balls and, you know, see what their numbers look like, see what everything is, right? And see the difference between those guys and even me.
It's ridiculous, huh?
If they miss a golf ball, they're launching their spin changes a degree in 400 RPM. If I miss one, it, you know, I launch it 4 degrees
higher. Shuts down the truck, man.
It spins 700, 800, 900, 1,000 RPM different. These guys miss so small that is absolutely outrageous to watch.
Yeah.
And even switching between clubs, Ryan's kind of a club junkie, right? Ryan Moore is kind of a club junkie. And so he came in and was doing some testing with some shafts and flopping between, you know, 5, 6 different shafts in the same head. Back-to-back swings, back-to-back different shafts, same result.
Wow.
The equipment, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but those guys are good enough. They can make that adjustment very, very quickly.
So I got a question for you, because we talked to Eric about this before a couple times and a few other people about the differences in equipment that we can buy versus what the pros are playing. I mean, without giving away the secret recipe, for new level, is there a difference between?
Are we speaking new level or are we speaking other brands?
I think just in general, but I would be curious to know about new level. I just don't want to dig into that too deep.
So, do you guys follow us on Instagram?
Yeah,
of course.
So, when the USGA announced the rollback of the golf ball, we made a quick video. Rory was very outspoken about the fact that what the average consumer gets is very different than what those guys get, right? I'm not going to name names, but we have a gym that's attached to our building here, same umbrella company, right? And we've got a lot of tour guys that come in and out of there. And fortunately, we've got a good enough relationship with those guys that we get to see their equipment quite a bit. You know, if they need lofts and lies adjusted or, you know, stuff like that, we're happy to do that for them. There are multiple guys that have come in here with very, very different golf clubs that say the same thing on them. We had a guy actually won last year. He's got a new set of one of the other manufacturers. Again, I won't name names. That the production heads have pocket cavities, they have inserts, they have all kinds of stuff. Those were solid one-piece forged irons that he brought in with a completely different shape, completely different offset, completely different grinds, completely different everything. Not even remotely close to what sold off the rack.
Hmm.
Not even close. But
weird.
Shameless plug here for a second. The stuff that Chez is playing, the stuff that Ryan's playing, the stuff that Steven Elker is playing on the Champions Tour is the exact same golf club that you can buy off of our website today. Exact same stuff.
That's cool.
Absolutely. So
now, do you think it matters, like, the caliber of player that you are to get something different, like, modeled to you? Like, I mean, I know you don't want to name names of the players, but it's obviously got to be a big name to where that they're going to invest in grinding it for you, you know?
Yeah, so one of the bigger things, obviously, we were talking about John Rahm earlier when he switched from TaylorMade to Callaway. Callaway built him his TaylorMade irons with a Callaway logo, basically. Right. They were the same exact shape, the same exact weight, and the same exact places. They the just
Nike irons were titles. Like a Callaway.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, there's been rumors for years about Tiger playing Mira irons that had Nike logos on it, right?
Right.
Which isn't really actually a rumor. That's a real thing. Yeah. But those things happen all the time. The interesting part is 99% of the world, with the exception of us golf nerds, don't know that there's a difference between what those guys are doing and what we're doing.
Right.
It's the bifurcation of of equipment in general is massive.
There's already a bifurcation. Yeah, people are calling for bifurcation, and there already is.
Exactly. Exactly.
And there is with the golf ball too, because I mean, you get the like left dot and right dash and star.
Exactly.
And, I mean, there's so many golf balls that nobody knows exist that the tour players play.
Until you find a random one the week after the tour was there.
Yep.
Yeah. They're already a year ahead of us, basically. Mm-hmm. Always.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wild. So do you think fitting as a process and in general doesn't go quite as far as it could? Like if money wasn't an issue, you could go in and say, I want to be fitted and I want the clubs built exactly how I should have them. You know what I'm saying? Like the heads, the faces, the grinds. Yeah.
So
is there a point where it's too far? Like it doesn't matter anymore for the average golfer.
I think that there is a such thing with golf equipment as being overcomplicated. Yes. In a perfect world,
I feel attacked.
in a perfect world, we'd have a mill in our shop and we'd make every single head exactly what that particular player needs.
Yeah.
But it's not efficient, right? It takes a lot of time to do those things. You know, if we place a PO for heads, it's at least 90 days before we get 50 of them. I mean,
yeah.
And that's the full process from, you know, raw tooling to finished chrome paint fill, ready to assemble golf club, and obviously a quantity there, but it's doable. It's not feasible, I would say.
Right.
I think given what we've got, given what you really can do and make available easily, fitting is very important to make that golf club work for you rather than you having to work for it.
Sense.
Much sense. It's much sense.
Absolutely.
So Eric has been on the podcast and he's mentioned a few times that
I know about a million of them that know you.
Greenlee.
He has said that shafts can be painted however they want.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you look at it this way. So again, not to name names, but there's a very large golf club company who dominates the market in driver sales, for instance. They've had the same shaft in those things for 15 years. It's got a different paint scheme. So what they do is they look at the tour, like Ventus is hot on tour right now. They look at the tour, they see what everybody's playing, and they make that adjustment, right? Hey, Ventus is hot right now. We're going to put that in our stuff. It's not the Ventus shaft. We all know the difference between VeloCore and non-VeloCore, right?
Right, yep.
It looks the same on TV, but it's not the same shaft.
Grab the spray paint.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a game where they say, we need 300 driver shafts or 300,000 for that matter. I want to pay $4 a shaft. What do you make?
Yeah.
And it with a logo.
Wow. There's got to be a class action lawsuit in there somewhere.
You would think.
If not, there's going to be one. Well,
if you're Fujikura, are you gonna tell a manufacturer that no, we're not gonna take your $17 million PO?
Oh yeah, probably totally.
Not. No. Probably not.
No,
absolutely not.
Wow, that's wild.
Do you think?
I've always wondered about this because what UST Mamiya says is a stiff. What Fujikura says is a stiff. What Graphite Design says is a stiff. They all can spec differently.
They are. They're all totally different.
Yeah. So does there need to be a I don't know.
Governing body?
Well, not necessarily a governing body, but a like regulations in place to where if you're going to say this is a stiff, it has to be between these guidelines. Is that something that's needed or does it not even matter?
Or is it even feasible?
The feasible part is the hard part, right? You look at some of these companies, Graphite Design, for instance, being more of an Asian market style shaft, right? They're based out of Japan. They've been in the Asian market forever. that market is very different. If you ever pick up an actual Japanese golf club, everything is softer, everything is lighter, everything is built for, as much as I hate to say it this way, is built for that market, right? Generally speaking, they're smaller people. They don't make quite as much speed, so their regular shaft is very much softer than the regular shaft in the States.
I picked up a lady left a pitching wedge in front of us today.
Yeah.
And I went and they were from Japan or Korea or something like that. And yeah. I went and picked it up. And so my buddy's dad is like, "Who did you leave that club there?" I'm like, "No," I said, "I'll grab it." And I picked it up and I thought it was plastic. That's how light it was.
It's a wet spaghetti noodle.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was. I'm like, this is like a June. This isn't even a junior. It's lighter than a junior club.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a Lady Flex RBZ or a Rocket Balls pitching wedge. And
there are ways to compare those things. We frequency analyze every single shaft that comes into this place. So, you know, we place 100 dynamic golds and we frequency every single one of those to make sure that they're consistent across our entire line, right? So there's ways to do it. If a shaft freaks at, you know, 275 and the next shaft freaks at 260, those are two very different golf shafts.
Yeah.
But regardless of what the paint says, if it's 265, it's 265. If it's 270, it's 270. If it's 300, it's 300.
Yeah.
So there's ways to do it. Some of it involves a little bit of technology that a lot of people don't have access to. But it's doable.
What happens to the ones that are like outliers? Does Dynamic Gold take those back?
They will.
That's good. At least that's good.
Yeah. Typically, if we get something like that, we'll throw it in a display head that's, you know, we're never going to send out. It's just something that's laying around the shop for people to look at.
Right.
I mean, it still looks like a Dynamic Gold shaft.
Yeah.
If it's a little out of spec, not going to hurt anything hanging on a wall. You know,
I mean, most people are never going to even notice that at all.
Most people think they can notice it better than maybe they actually can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many do you say are off when you're building on average?
Not very.
No. And is that across all? No, I'm not trying to single out Dynamic Gold or True Temper. Yeah, I'm just curious.
I would say some are better than others for sure. Again, though, it, not to say that it doesn't matter, but as long as every club in your set is the same, there's consistency there, right?
Right.
And we talk about it all the time. You want to make that golf club work for you, right? But as a decent player, even, you know, somebody that's going to put in some time and make some effort to improve, they're going to get used to that and they're going to figure out how to hit it. So not to say that the build isn't important or, you know, the specs of everything isn't important, but there is human error in that, and you'll learn.
Yeah.
What should I say that way?
I want to take a quick break real quick to, you know, give some love to show sponsor here, the Golf Stop, the new indoor TrackMan lounge right here in Henderson. Four TrackMan bays, awesome place, great people that run it, open 24 hours. There's another company out there claiming to be the only 24-hour indoor TrackMan facility in town. It's not true.
Not so much, huh?
Not so much. But yeah, if you're in the area and you're looking to go hit some balls at a really nice facility, go check out the Golf Stop. Really info nice will be facility. In the show notes.
Really nice facility.
Really nice facility. And they got beers. So Joe's happy.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right. So what's new at New Level?
Oh man.
Let's get some insider scoop.
Oh man. All I can say is pay attention to the social medias here over the next month, 2 months, 3 months. We've got some pretty cool stuff in the works. There's a couple of teasers out there on the internet that you might be able to find. For instance, one of our players may or may not have had one of his children pick out his putter for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And there may or may not be a teaser of the current iron that he is playing in that article. If you find the article, you'll see a picture of something pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we'll play a little bit of the game here.
Yeah, this is Choose Your Own Adventure podcast. So
if you follow Mr. Barath at all, there may or may not have been another picture that was posted of a different iron that may or may not be currently on tour.
Okay.
So do a little bit of digging. You can find some pretty cool stuff that's coming.
I don't want to work. I just want the info. Oh.
How's the transition been? I mean, so Ryan Moore bought the company, what has that been, like a year ago?
So actually it wasn't Ryan. Ryan had a little bit to do with it. So Ryan, the story with Ryan years ago, he was working with one of the fitters in our area here, and saw actually our older 623M, and decided that he liked the way it looked, liked the way it felt, liked everything about it. And that particular fitter told him that you shouldn't play that. You should play these other things that we get paid to sell. So he ended up going with that, didn't end up putting our stuff in the bag, played with those about a half a season or so. Wasn't really ever in love with them. They did okay. Didn't love them. And then reached out to us, and was like, hey, I had seen the stuff. I had hit the stuff. It was really good. I would love to get a set, put them through their paces, see what we can figure out. He ended up loving them, so much so that he let his team know. Long story short, that team is the team that ended up purchasing New Level Golf. So it's been really cool. The amount of access that we have now to different things, different, you know, technologies, different. The worst thing in small business is to be undercapitalized. Unfortunately, we're not in that position anymore where we can do testing on things that we didn't get to see before, right? We have this great building now. We've got a simulator that we can do fittings in. You know, we've got
awesome facility, by the way.
Dude, there's so much cool stuff. And just getting to see, I mentioned earlier, we get a lot of the tour guys that come in and work out with Carson in Motion Lab. And we get to see those guys. We get to meet those guys. We get to talk to those guys. That's something that we never got to do before. You know, pick those guys' brains. Those guys are the best ball strikers in the world. And if somebody's going to give you feedback to tell you whether your equipment is good or it's bad, it's those guys. So getting to see, you know, the player feedback on what they like, what they don't like, being able to design a golf club that's going to be well received to not only good players, but even what the bad players aspire to be, is so valuable. There's not a dollar amount that you can put on that insight, right? So long story short, man, the transition's been awesome.
Yeah. I just love seeing the NL logo and the True logo just slash right there behind your left shoulder.
Right there? Right there?
We're big lovers of True Links. We're obviously...
Oh, you're going to let me swing in there, Joe. Because
it's the only shoe I wear to work, to the mall, to fucking Mobettas or Zippies, dude, wherever I'm going. I only rock True Links.
We got all kinds of stuff. we may or may not have an iron that is inspired by a shoe that came out recently.
Yeah, the Dead Golfer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Those are beautiful.
Oh,
see, this is what I've been waiting for. Yeah, those of you on YouTube, you get a little treat here. So
just happen to have them, you know. Dude, they are incredible.
Yeah, they look great.
Those went in the bag a month and a half ago and have not left. So
love it.
Not planning on doing it anytime soon.
Do you guys offer different finishes, or is it just like if you wanted a raw set, could you do that?
We don't. There are places where you can go to have the chrome removed.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't do it in house. We're experimenting with some things. Obviously, the Dead Golfer irons being in black, we've got a couple ideas in the works that, you know, we may be able to bring some stuff to market that is a little bit different than what we've got out now. You know, we've done raw wedges in the past. I always thought they look good. I prefer raw stuff anyway. I like my golf clubs to look like they get used, so if there's a little bit of rust on it, I love it.
I love it.
A lot of guys prefer the chrome, so it's kind of six in one, half dozen in the other. We're like I say, experimenting with some things to see what, you know, we can figure some stuff out that we can do in house that, you know, doesn't take a long time to fix or doesn't take a long time to do, that you know, we can charge a little bit extra for if we needed to, or, you know, maybe it's a service that we provide in the future. You know, if we've got to finish it this way, it's probably the same amount of work to finish it another way. So we're interested in it.
Any other clubs, new clubs coming?
You're the fucking tinker officially man himself, bro.
You're an addict, Matt.
Yeah, you
don't feed the addict.
I will answer that question with yes. I can't answer that question with exactly what it is yet.
Okay, he said go see. Digging. He said go check out Instagram and you find some stuff.
No, I said other than that.
There's
anything
there's
that he could talk about.
There is some stuff in the works. I can't tell you exactly what it is yet.
Okay, are you guys going to stick with the hybrid? Are you going to continue to do that? Is the driver in the works? Is there a driver coming? I want to know.
Drivers in Three Woods are a totally different animal. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say it's never going to happen, but it's not going to be anytime in the future, in the near future, I should say.
Putters? Is there a new level putter coming?
Not yet.
Yeah, just not tell him yet. No. He doesn't need any more putters. Just tell him no.
We're in a unique space where we've cut our teeth on the irons and wedges. You know, the driving iron is really good. It's, in my opinion, one of the better golf clubs that we make. Even as good as the irons and the wedges are, that thing is incredible.
Do you know what something you may not know about that NLU? If you turn it over and swing it left-handed... It's
the 7-iron.
It's like a 7-iron.
Can I tell you a secret?
Uh oh.
Of course you can. Really,
it is a 7-iron.
I think that I haven't tried it.
Did you try it in a tournament with money on the line?
I did not try it in a tournament, but I have hit that shot with that golf club. Yeah.
I was stunned at how well it came off the back of that club.
Oh, you should have heard of it. He was so excited.
Oh, you use the back of the golf club.
The back of the club. Yes. Yes.
Man. I believe that. I believe that with the angle of that trailing edge. I believe it.
Yeah. And the guy we were playing with, like, he was on the other side of the fairway. He's like, did you hit that left-handed?
I used to have a putter that felt better off the back flange than it did off the face.
Ooh, that's a bad putter.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right. So, Joe, you're going to go check out the shop when you go down?
Yeah, I'm going to do my best too. Yeah.
If he does, weekend. I will be sad at him.
I'm going to do my best, he said.
I got 15 minutes for sure. I mean, Joe, I'm sure it's a playground.
15.
You can't get all the way around this place in 15 minutes if you wanted to.
Okay. Okay. We'll do it. We'll do it.
All right.
And normal people can do fittings there too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Might have to make a little trip down there.
Oh, please do. Please do. Let me know.
You need to at least go in and hit some of the irons, Joe, so you can...
I know. I do need to do that, yeah.
He's looking for some new irons.
Yeah.
That worked for one of the best club companies in the world.
I mean, so Greenlee's been on here before, and I think he said, a year ago, Greenlee said you can't really beat New Level for the price point, for the quality.
He would play sub 60, is that what it's called?
I don't think he said that.
70.
He said sub 70 or New Level. Well, Tommy Armour is involved with sub 70, so.
Yeah, that's true. He's homies with him. Yeah. But yeah, he said it's very hard to beat New Level.
I will 1000% tell you this. If our irons had one of the major manufacturers' logos on it, it'd be a $1,700-$1,800 set of golf clubs.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
And they're not that much. And
no,
half that. If you're out there right now and you're playing some new level irons, there's a really good chance that that guy right there built them.
Yeah.
Really, really good chance. So.
You know what? I'm going to place an order for one right now.
Oh.
Live order.
Do it. Do
share it. Your screen.
I'm going to order it right now.
Breaking news.
Utility, the NLU.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What shaft?
You could have Joe pick it up for you while he's down there.
So I have the Graphite Design DI I think it's an 8. I don't know. It's a 95X, I think. And it's just not a great shaft, I don't think.
So not heavy enough, stiff enough. What is it?
Not stiff enough. It just feels noodly. But I don't know. I kind of want to try
your launch.
Lowish. Hey, we can do this on the side.
I've got ideas.
You can tell the powers that be that you went on the show and sold golf clubs. That's the power of the Chasing Daylight podcast.
Absolutely.
I think there's going to be a few orders coming in from the CDP.
I'm in. All you got to do is let me know. Just let me know.
I'm going to place that order tonight. I promise you.
I love it.
And then he'll return it next week.
No. I'm not returning. I'm only returning anything.
They don't have the 90-day money-back guarantee at New Level. Yeah, so. Can you ship that to Las Vegas Golf Superstore for me, please?
Hey, but if you are on the fence on New Level, there is a demo program, right? Doc, you want to talk about that?
Tell them about the demo program.
So the cool part about it, and if I'm being 100% honest with you, there are a couple of things that are not on there currently. We are making room for new inventory, i.e. those pictures that I may or may not have mentioned are in a couple of articles somewhere. So our 902 lines are starting to dwindle down. So we've got a lot of those things allocated for actual sets rather than the demo stuff. CBs, MBs, those things are going to be easily available. GI22 is easily available. Pretty much where we're at. Like I say, we've got some cool stuff in the works coming up here pretty soon. So if the MBs or CBs aren't your thing, give it a little bit. You'll see some cool stuff.
I love
it.
Absolutely. All right. So basically, I guess I didn't answer your question totally. you can buy a demo 7-iron. We'll build it the same way that we build everything. So same specs, same everything. We'll send you that 7-iron. You get to take it out, hit it. It's yours. If you like it, great. We can redo the rest of the set for you. If you don't like it, if you're 7-iron, it's a cool new desert club. Give it to a buddy. Do whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
That is cool.
It's being a D2C, it allows people to get to try the stuff. Easy.
I will say I'm gonna give Doc a little credit right now, because Doc will give you the truth no matter what it is. He's gonna tell you how it is. And I remember when I started playing golf 5 years ago, I went into Club Champion when he was a fitter there, and I was hey Doc, can you fit me for something? And I was swinging the club, and he's like,
"Nope.
You need to work on your swing first before I put you in anything."
Look, man, I've been the same guy my entire life. The last thing I want to do to people is make them spend the same money twice. So,
and that's why we love you, my friend.
Yep. I would much rather put in the time a little bit, maybe do a lesson or two, figure out that golf swing, and then we can figure something out for you for golf clubs.
I fully appreciate it. 100%.
That is going up to
golf clubs are expensive, man. They just are.
That is going up to the hot chick and going, "Hey, can I get your number?" No.
Work on your weight a little bit.
You can go work on yourself for a little bit.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Figure out what you want in life.
I need to see a couple things first.
What's your credit rating?
Get a job first.
Too funny. All right. Let's wrap it up with Tiger. I want to talk about this a little bit. His swing looked good. He played well. Charlie is turning into a little golfer,
a monster.
He's winning now. You know, last year I don't even think he was top 200 in the state. I haven't looked lately to see where that's at, but I'm sure they're going to be talking a little bit about that on the coverage.
Oh yeah.
So, and this with the current state of golf, this is a shining light for the PGA, their flagship player out on the golf course with his son, the next coming of the Woods genealogy line. Mm-hmm. Are you excited for this, or are you just like, come on, let it go? Because I know a couple years ago when this started, I was like, okay, just let him be a kid. But now it's to a point where he's playing well. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of talk about Charlie Woods this weekend, not necessarily Tiger Woods. And are you okay with that?
Are you asking me, or are you asking
I'm asking everybody. Everybody. Whoever wants to talk.
Don't get me wrong. I love the entire Tiger Woods and Charlie story. Tiger, I know who Jack is. I know who Arnie is. I know those guys. I know what they've done in the world. Tiger was the guy for most of my golf interest, career, whatever you want to call it, right? Tiger was the most influential player for me growing up. He was the most influential player still in my era, right? I love seeing Tiger on the golf course. I think it's great for the game just because he is who he is. I don't really care that much about the Tiger and Charlie story. I think it's awesome to see Tiger out there being a dad. That's the part that gets me every time. Just the support that he's got for Charlie. It's a different Tiger when Charlie's on the golf course than it is seeing Tiger playing a PGA tournament. And it's cool to see the other side of it, right? It's cool to see the dad Tiger, not the, you know, full-blooded killer that he used to be. I love it.
Yeah, he's become more human.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's showing more of his human side.
Exactly.
Where that was a closed behind door thing for so long.
Exactly. It's cool to see him kind of growing as a human, right? And being the dad that he wanted to be his entire life, right? It's pretty cool to watch.
I will say it's interesting, and it almost sucks to be Charlie right now, right? Because he's living in the shadow of his dad. He's doing okay, right? But it's like, could he be set up for failure? Because he'll never be as good as his dad. Probably nobody ever will.
I don't know if I would say that yet.
Well, we don't know, right? We don't know that. I'm just saying.
This
just
in, Doc thinks Charlie's better than Tiger.
I don't know if I would say better. I think
I'm just saying it's hard to live up to.
Sure. Absolutely. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think if anybody can do it, I think it's Charlie. Yeah. I think he's got everything behind him to be as successful as he possibly can be, right?
Imagine he's got a backyard.
He's even got a father that's been there and done it, right? So there's advice that comes from Tiger that other players don't get, aren't ever going to get.
Totally. And it's up to him. It's really up to him because he has everything in his toolbox. It's up to him.
It is. It is.
So.
It is. And he seems like he's got the love for the game. So.
Yeah. It's going to be so fun to watch. That's so much for sure.
Fun. So much fun.
Okay. Did any of you guys watch the Graham Thornton, or what was it called?
Grant Thornton.
I was too busy watching the Champions Tour Bo Ryder Cup.
The World. That's a great name for it. Right. The Senior Ryder Cup.
Yes.
What did you? So, do you like this idea? I thought it was great.
Yeah. I enjoyed
seeing him out there. It was fun watching the teams. It's funny how the teams, when these happen, they go right to country. Canada playing with Canada, Europe playing with Europe. You know, it's those country lines are deep, which shows you why the Ryder Cup means so much. I would like to see more of these. You know,
totally.
The ladies don't get enough credit for how good they are.
Agreed.
Yeah, thank you.
Agreed. Yeah,
I agree.
Do you have any females, women's players in new level gear right now?
Currently, no. There are conversations happening.
It's coming.
Conversations happening, but you're just funny.
Conversations happening.
That's what he's got to do, man.
Good stuff. I know, but I can still give him shit for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Stay tuned.
Matt's a fiend, bro.
I'm not a fiend.
You are a fiend.
He's not a fiend. He's a journalist.
I just like poking. I like poking the bear. I like poking the bear. I'm waiting for the, okay, I'll tell you, Jesus, but that's not going to happen.
No, sir.
Anybody got anything else? Dan, you got nothing? No? All right. No. Jeremy? Jeremy still, he's probably got 16 clubs in his cart right now.
I have a couple. One of them might be a demo seven iron.
The wedges are great. The irons are great. The utility is great. The hybrid is really solid. You can't go wrong with any of it.
Hey, I put a couple of those red hazardous shafts in my the UDI and or the NLU and my hybrid, because after what I hit there, I was like, whoa, okay.
Dude, this new, that RDX line has been awesome for us. We are selling a ton of them. I've
seen it out there quite a bit. Yeah.
It fits everybody. They make so many different weights and so many different flexes and that stuff that I can put it in anybody's hands. Between black and red, I can put it in anybody's hands and find something that works. It's easy.
Love it.
Between that, love it. We sell a ton of Ventus stuff. I mean, it's all good.
All right, so I have a little business out of town next week. So I'm going to be giving the keys to the Cadillac to Mr. Keys over there.
Dad's not home.
Yeah, Dad's not home. Uh-oh. Again.
Party time.
So, the episode next week may be a little delayed until I get back into town.
Next week's guest, he actually got his car stolen.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah. His MacBook was gone. He found his golf clubs down the street,
a mile in a dumpster.
So hopefully he can still join. So I'll have to hit him up. Those. But yeah, he got the clubs back. So
number one priority.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. He had some towels that he was selling, and they took those too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. For those that don't know, we're talking about Blind Squirrel Golf. Yeah. So hopefully,
I sent him a message. I said, damn it, pieces of shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Thieves suck. They're the fucking worst. No joke.
God, just leave it alone. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And go get a job. Just fucking idiots. They're just dummies because that golf club, you know, the set was worth probably more worth than the
more than, yeah, right. That you're not going to be able to use because it's tracked. And
dude, totally. Right. Yeah. Idiots.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's...
They probably saw that they were blades, so they just...
I can't put them in the dumpster.
No, you know what they saw? They're not new levels. We don't want them.
See, hey. Exactly.
This guy gets it.
For years, man.
All right, give them the website, Doc. What's the website where they
www.newlevelgolf.com. It's all there, right?
They ship from Scottsdale. From the little room that he's in right there.
They do.
Check out the demo program. It's awesome. I was telling Doc before we hopped on. That's something I want to do. Y Golf has a training aid called the pressure plate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy crap. I won't get into it, a lot of it, but wow. It has done wonders for a swing flaw of mine that I have had a problem with for years, and it has helped me just wildly, wildly impressive. So if you're having some issues with getting to your left side, posting up and rotating, go check out the pressure plate. Shout out to Marcus. He's the one that recommended it to me. It's unbelievable. It's helped me out so much. I had my clubs all cleaned up and I didn't want to hit in the backyard with them. So I just grabbed the new level club because I was telling Doc how I put the Strixons back in the bag. I had to tell him. I can't keep stuff from him. And so I grabbed the new level and I was hitting it. I'm like, man, this feels really good. I can't believe how good this feels. So I built the 6 iron up with the same irons that I have in the Strixons. And I took that with me to Wild Horse today. And the new levels are probably going back in the bag. It just is. Ooh. Ooh. It is so good. Good Lord, it is so good. It's not as forgiving as the Strixons, but when you pure it, oh my God, it's so good.
Oh yeah.
Chills down
your
spine.
Oh yeah.
It was.
Let me know when you want to come through, Matt. We'll figure out what chef you need.
Yeah, that's that.
He probably won't commit to it, but
yeah.
Well, if I do, it'll be. I'll give you more than 15 minutes. Okay.
He already has the chefs.
Yeah.
The possible chefs. He already has them.
Yeah.
Well, you should see the collection I've have now compared to when you were here last. It's
oh boy,
hoarder.
Oh boy. Oh
boy, yeah. Big
time. They make documentaries about people like Matt.
Yeah, we're on TLC's 6 p.m. on Wednesdays.
He's gonna be on Netflix with his own show. This was a pro pool. I pro pooled this
pro
one.
Pool.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, too funny. Hey, everybody too, also check out the Olsen. He actually has a release coming next week.
He does, yeah, he does.
Is it next week or is this week?
I think it's Friday.
Thursday or Friday. Yeah. So he's got some clubs coming out. You hear about his story, Doc?
I love how everyone was asking what's the price.
which story?
That he's on $1,000 a putter.
That he's in both of the best male and female players' bag in the world.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. I think TaylorMade's going to buy Olsen.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And they may already have.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't destroy like what they Callaway did with Toulon.
True.
Let the brilliant minds and the brilliant craftsmen do their shit.
Right.
Just like this, and then put it in those players' bags. Yeah. You know, Titleist did not slap a freaking horrible logo on a Scotty Cameron. They're like, hey, we'll just put a little Titleist down here in the corner.
Yeah.
Not all of them, some of them, but all of them. But like Voki, they let Voki do his thing. They let let them do their things and they keep it under their umbrella. So if they let if that happens and they let Logan do his stuff, kudos to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But yeah, the 1 of 10 putter that I have of his sold on eBay for $4,200 after this. Jeez. So there's one right now going for the copper insert.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So
you're gonna sell yours?
You're a big investment guy. You're a big investment guy.
I posted that picture of my collection and I went, no, these are not for sale. And then that auction ended and I went, well, maybe exactly. One might be for sale. Because that's a lot of golf trips right there.
Yeah.
I'll say this though, I am super excited for Logan. That's a huge opportunity for him.
Oh my big god.
Time. Big time.
Huge opportunity for him.
Life change. Dude.
Yeah.
Put a putter in the right hands and triple your money in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put it in his hand and then dude wins.
And he won.
Exactly.
Crazy.
So let's hope Scotty continues to putt well with it. And Nelly.
Because he was too. Shit for a long time. A
very long
time. Oh, yeah.
Anything else coming up this weekend? I can't think of anything big. We're doing this Tuesdays, hoping for, as the PGA Tour gets here, we'll have a little bit better insight for some information that's been released. So a little bit more current on the episodes, not a full 2 days between when we record this to when it goes out, just several hours.
Am I allowed to call Joe out for this, Southern Dunes match tomorrow or Saturday?
You can do whatever you want. This is an open range, my friend. Their deal. Ball's already on the mat.
Deal. I'm in.
Oh, hey, Doc, you need to get on the Loop Golf Club bandwagon.
There you go.
Loop Golf.
Yeah, download the app. I'll text it to you or just look it up. Loop Golf. It's a wagering app where you can set up matches. They use your gin. And you can do over unders, you can do skins, you can do CTPs, you can do everything, but it takes the money and holds it.
Yeah. So when me and you are playing, Matt can bet on either of us from home or on the scores or whatever.
I can bet who's going to win the match. I can bet over under on you, over under on Joe.
Look, I'm already really bad at sports betting. I do not need another thing to lose.
Well, we're from Vegas. So, I can help you.
I won $10 bucks today from a stranger. So,
did you?
Yeah.
There you go.
So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool app.
So we're trying to get as many people on it because it's
It makes it more fun the more people you know on it.
Well, this is what's cool about it is when you're playing for that, when you have, like, when Joe and I were playing so high, we had a match going on. We also had people betting on us, each of us. Joe had a couple, I had a couple, plus our match. And, you know, it comes down to it. And Joe on the last hole is like, I gotta birdie this to win my bets. And so it kept him engaged.
Yeah. A little extra pressure there, huh?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I love it.
It's really good.
I love it. I'm in.
Yep, and we're hoping to have those guys on here shortly. So Joe's setting up all kinds of interviews behind my back. And
that's what I do. That's what I'm here for. I just drink a bunch of IPAs and then I hit people up and I'm like, hey, you want to jump with the podcast? And they're like, this sounds good to me.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Everybody on the chats on YouTube, Nick and Jed, thank you guys so much for chatting with us. This will be out Wednesday afternoon. I gotta go take my kid Christmas shopping tomorrow, so, and finals and school, so I'm a little bit, and I gotta build some clubs for Steven, so
yeah,
but it will be out and you guys can check it out. It'll be on YouTube later on in the week, and you guys have fun next week. I'll probably be tuning in through the back channels just to make sure that everybody stays in line. All right, Joseph, bring us home.
Yeah, thanks for everybody tuning in. Shout out New Level, shout out True. We're big believers in that brand. Shout out Roden jumping on. It's been a while. It's been like since episode number 10 since he's been on, I think.
Him and Ava were on.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah, like a year ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Episode 13 and 14 originally, and then was on again with Ava later, yeah.
There we go.
And
then
we were on with Liam, and that just didn't work out. So,
yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
I mean, he's English anyway. Who cares?
Well, Roden, thank you for jumping on. I'm going to see you Saturday, Friday.
Absolutely.
I'm swinging my New Level. I'm
Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, whatever you want to do, we'll make it work.
I will let you know. I haven't been to Arizona in a long time. I'm not a big believer of Arizona, but I'm a new man now, so I'm excited to get down there.
Hey,
what did you say?
Every time I've gone to Arizona, I've gotten in trouble or gotten a ticket or something, and it's just been a shit show.
You and I will absolutely get the soul golfer. We'll be good to go.
There we go. We're soul golfing this weekend. We're hitting Southern Dunes this Saturday. Shout out Brett, who's going to be joining us. Random Golf Club.
You'll smell some leader cows in Maricopa.
Hey.
Yep. Yeah, man, I'm excited to see you. It's been a long time. Thanks for jumping on. I can't wait to see you. Everybody, tell your homies, tell your friends. We're here for you every single week. Now on Tuesdays live on YouTube. And we'll catch you next week because I got the keys. Later.